Amen. Good morning. Good to see all these smiling faces, and welcome to the Sunday edition of the Voice of Believers Church. We come together, we get fired back up, right? We got to keep our love hot for the Lord, because the world makes it cold. And we learn how to overcome and win in life. Amen. Can y'all hear me? Well, if anyone needs any envelopes for your tithe or offering, just raise your hands and these young men back there will get it to you. And while we get ready to pray over them, I want to talk about the ministry of giving. I found seven different ministries of giving. But before I get into it, you know, you may not know it, but Christians are not to give by force. Never to be forced into it. It's free will act of love and obedience and just honoring to God. It's never to be coerced, forced, put under duress, guilt trips, but it's always out of faith and love. That's how God works. Isn't that true? And the seven ways that there's giving ministries, the first one is to help fellow believers. We are to help each other, not tear each other down, right? And then the second is to give to help the poor, right? Give them a hand up. Give to help family. We are to help families. We are to give to support pastors. Well, I'm not trying to build a hint or nothing like that, I promise. We are to give to get heavenly rewards, spiritual rewards. We are also to give to receive increase. You know, we are to give to receive increase because God promised that we would receive increase. And we are also to give to increase the kingdom of God, to get the good news published, to bring the covenant of Jesus, to establish it all over the world. And my scripture is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read it on verse, I'm going to start at verse 1. I said, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. They want to help the Jews in Jerusalem, the believers, because they were going through persecution. They heard about it. I'm like, we want to help. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. And I'm sending these brothers to be sure that you really are ready, as I've been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all that I had told them. That would be embarrassing. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few will get a small crop. But a farmer who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart. I remember one time I was visiting a church, and he was trying to tell, you know, he said, you need to bring me your check so I can tell you how much to give. And you decide, you and God. Now, he does say, you know, give 10%, but we're not supposed to go checking that. That's that's wrong. He said, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Amen. God promises that when we give, he's going to give back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, so we don't have to be afraid to give. Isn't that good? If we learn to do it his way, because it's the opposite of what we feel. We're like, we're hanging on to this. But when we learn to be part of God's work, guess what? He pays back. Isn't that good? All right, are we ready to pray over? Well, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we get to share in your kingdom work. We get to share in the publishing of your gospel. And we get to be your workers as we are also being healed. And Lord, you said in Malachi 3:10 that when we bring our tithes and offerings to the house of the Lord, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. And you rebuke the devourer, the devil, from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground. And all the nations would call us blessed. And Lord, you also said in Luke 6:38, when we give, it will be given back. Full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men bring into our bosom. And so, Lord, I just speak the blessing over every household here, the blessing of increase, and the devil is rebuked from touching our stuff. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. Well, while these young men take it up, I want to give some announcements. Wednesday nights, we always have a free meal at 6 o'clock. Everyone's invited. And then we have a message. We're going to have green chili enchiladas this Wednesday. That was by request. What else? There was another. Friday the 19th, we are having a healing service. If you know anyone, you know, they didn't get a good report from the doctors or whatever and they can't help, just tell them about it, and they can expect a miracle.
Yeah, it'll be right here at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m.
Praise God.
I'm ready and poured of faith for my
favorite pastor. Now I got to get my thoughts off that green chili enchilada. It was I that put in that request for that green chili enchilada. he likes it too. Praise God. Amen to that. And I was thinking about what... blaming Monica like Adam did on Eve about the beginning of the time. I remember Adam blamed Eve to God. It's just woman you give me. It's that woman you give me. But it was all my fault. I forgot it was the first Sunday of the month to do the Lord's Supper. I didn't get it prepared, so I take the blame on that. I'm the head of the house and stuff, so I take all the blame on it. Yeah, actually, Adam had the headship anointing. He should have told Eve that, no, we're not going to eat of that fruit. It was his job because he had the headship anointing. She didn't, and he didn't do his job, actually, to be honest with you. So we'll get it next Sunday. Y'all remind me to get the Lord's Supper ready next Sunday, praise God. All right, youth and children can be dismissed. Y'all have fun now. Hallelujah. Uh-oh, don't forget her. She's ready to roll. She got her coffee. Hey, give me a drink of that coffee. I tell you what, I had a dream last night. I had two dreams that were cool. So I'm going to convey you my thoughts because now that I had these dreams, there are thoughts in my mind. The first dream, it was beautiful sunny out. I was turkey hunting, actually. And there was two tom turkeys and a hen, and they were trying to breed this old hen. And I chose the bigger one of the two toms to shoot, to fry up, to have some turkey meat and everything. Shot him, got him. I was all beautiful colors. Very vivid dream I had last night. Beautiful dream. See, it's these thoughts. We're talking about thought, and they're conveying a picture to y'all. And over there in Ephesians, we've been talking about the armor of God, and I think the fifth piece is your helmet of salvation, you know, your thoughts, what you've been thinking on. And then I had a second dream. It was just as cool as that dream. This all happened last night, right? And right when I woke up, like at 6:30, 6:40 is when I got thinking about it, and it kept on my mind. The second one, Monica and I were in a boat. We've been talking about fishing. And we're in a boat, and we're coming in the backside of Mount Pleasant, and we dock at and then we're walking, seeing these houses while we're floating down there, and dock right at the Chili's restaurant. Chili's restaurant. And there's JR sitting outside on one of the tables eating and stuff. And the next thing I remember, we go back, and I remember a body of water and the clear blue skies and the sunshine and everything else. And I started getting sucked up, sucked up, sucked up. And I was like, this is the rapture. I knew what it was immediately. And I was looking at my body because it talks about how our body will be taken up, and in the clouds will be changed into immortal. And I woke up, oh, cool. I had a dream about the rapture last night. It was pretty neat, praise God. Pretty neat dream it was. I really enjoyed that. So what it did, what did these words that I spoke, these They're thought capsules. You thought about it. You could see it, what I was speaking about, praise God. And even through dreams, we have these thoughts, hallelujah. Let's turn over to Psalms 92:5. 92:5. While you turn there, I am going to say this. Our foundational scripture, and don't turn there, is over there in Romans 12:2, where it talks about to renew our mind to the Word of God and be transformed to the Word of God instead of being conformed to this world. That's our foundational scripture. Let me pray over this. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for these thoughts. Your Word are your thoughts. When we have your Word in our hand, that's why you have it in so many different languages. That way you can convey your thoughts to each person in their language. You have it in different translations where it makes it easy for each and every one of us to understand. Some of us don't understand old Elizabethan English like thou and thus and that and all them old language, Lord. So, Lord, you put it in different translations for each and every one of us to understand, like New Living Translation or Amplified or New King James. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just use me to speak your thoughts. Let it be edification, exhortation, and comfort to the people, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for just illustrations and testimonies to go forth. We thank you, Lord, each and every one of us here. We receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan, we bind you, but can't steal from us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to receive revelation knowledge. Be in faith with me that each and every one of us is going to receive that revelation knowledge. Praise God. And I'm going to receive utterance from the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. 92:5. Lord, oh Lord, how great works you do. And how deep are your thoughts. How deep are your thoughts. How deep are God's thoughts. His ways are so great, greater than our ways, and his thoughts are so great. But you know what? Some people have taken, religious people have taken the Word of God and made it where we're just little peons, we're just little nothings, and that human beings cannot understand God's thoughts. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. Why would he give us his Word, which is full of his thoughts, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to teach us his thoughts, to understand them, praise God. God wants us to understand his thoughts. Just like when Adam, before the fall, and sin came in, when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, they talked. God was conferring his thoughts to Adam. He was getting God's thoughts, hallelujah. And that's what this is full of, God's thoughts. The word is thought capsules, hallelujah. And there was a time when this church was a thought. It wasn't manifested. It wasn't even here, the Voice of Believers Church. But it was a thought. God said, do it. He said, if you start it, I'll build it. If you'll start it, I'll build it. And I remember when he told me that. I'm not saying I heard it out here. I heard it on my spirit on the inside when I was quiet before the Lord and studied the Word. And started it, and it started growing, praise God. And he's building it. Hallelujah. Keith Moore, he's a pastor up in Branson, Missouri, him and his wife Phyllis, back when they were 18 years old, they were just newlyweds, fresh out of high school, but they were both saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they loved Jesus, and they started getting material and teaching material and the Word from the Copelands and the Hagans, and they started learning a few things. They excited them, praise God. They got excited. They started learning how they were redeemed from the curse of the law. How God had blessed them. The blessing was on their lives. They didn't have to stand under that curse of the enemy. They learned that by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Praise God. And that one's for you right there, praise God. Stand on the Word. Beloved, I pray above all things I may prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That covers everything about you right there. Prosper in every area of your life. And you're being health in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions prosper. Everything that you ever need. And when this baby right here prospers, see, you got a spirit, man. I know each and every one have been to funerals, and you look in the casket, and you could tell that person's spirit is gone out of them. It's gone. They're just a body laying there. And so you have a spirit, man, and you have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And you're a free spirit, angels don't have that. No other being has it. I mean, just your spirit speaking in the God class. Only that they can do that. And you're in that class, praise God, that you have your freedom to do what you want to do, praise the Lord. I mean, angels can't do that. They bust out of that where they're supposed to be. They're doomed to hell right then. They're gone. So we have that freedom. Hallelujah. So here they are. They were 18. They're living life. And they start getting material. And Brother Moore, he seen a monthly publication of Kenneth Hagin's ministry, the Rhema Bible School up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And all those graduates, men and women, had these nice little red, robes on, had the little deals on to graduate. He goes, he had a thought. Wouldn't it be nice to be a part of something like that? Wouldn't it be nice to be a part of something great like that? And that thought was there, and then all of a sudden another thought. He said, nah, you just an old country boy. You can't do that. He said, he had a second thought. Now, where'd the first thought come from? Come from the Lord. There was faith there that energized him. Where'd the second thought come from? The devil. Tried to push him down. No, you can't do that. You're no good. You're just a peon. Tried to push him down. And him and Phyllis, they thought about it. And they had it in their heart. And they really wanted to go. But finally, at age 19, they received a magazine. They was talking about having a camp meeting up in around Tulsa area. And they said, we're going to pray and believe to go to that camp meeting. And so him and Phyllis agreed, laid hands together to the Father in Jesus' name, that they make a way to them to go to that camp meeting. It's a week long. A week long. This is their biggest step of faith they've ever had in their life. And sure enough, things start happening. God started moving. Because guess what? It was God's will in the first place that they get into that school and start learning the Bible. And someone loaned their almost brand new car. Someone had an almost brand new car. They said, here, you can use it for that week. Because they had an old wore out one. The next thing you know is they're getting on the road. They're going on their trip. They pull out the money that people have given them because they found out they were going on this trip. And between the two of them, she's pulling it out and he's pulling it, they had enough to go that whole week and eat, stay in a motel, the gas there and gas back, everything they needed, praise God. He took a week off from work and they just enjoyed himself. And when they were there, they took a tour of the campus there at Rhema Bible School in the university. And that dream just exploded in his heart. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to be. This is where we need to be. For him and his wife. And now they went back home, went on with life and job. And now, like he said, he's not saying he didn't struggle with that thought again over the next 6 months to a year, but over time he gave in to that thought and said, I'm going. And God provided a way. They ended up going to Rhema Bible School, praise God, and graduated. He ended up working for Brother Hagin, I think, for like 17 years in the healing school. Just started with one thought, a thought of God. One thought of God. And how are you going to have those thoughts? Well, how are you going to keep those thoughts stirred up in you? Well, you want God to stir thoughts up in you? You're going to have to stay in this. You're going to have to be in this Word of God night and day. It really helps if you're in it night and day because that's what God said to be in it. And when you're in it night and day like that, my God, you can, all these thoughts, these good thoughts of God will come up and it shuts down the enemy. Like Monica and I, we were talking about going fishing. We're going to take my little, got a little portable speaker that Bluetooths to the phone. I can listen to Monica preach off the website because, you know, you run around with these little computers that have the internet. I can Bluetooth that and we can listen to Monica preach off the website or me preach off of voiceofbelieverschurch.org, listen to different preachers. I can listen to other people on YouTube preaching. And we could be having a good time, enjoying ourselves, and being there doing it with God. That's what Monica and I have done. We've surrounded ourselves with God in our marriage and everywhere else. And it's beautiful. It makes life wonderful when you put God and Jesus right in the middle of it all. Just changes it all. Changes it all. I mean, where I used to be a madman when I was first married, crazy man, how I used to act and violent like I used to be when I was in my first marriage. Now, I remember back, you know, Monica and I have been married 14 years in June. And now, even back when we first got married, because them first 7 years, they're pretty tough. Now it's getting sweeter and sweeter all the time. And that first little bit, Monica and I, we were blended family. She had children. I have children. We had to put all that together. That makes it even harder because we had children from other, not to get jealous of each other's children and all that other stuff. It made it even tougher to stay married. Without the Word of God and God doing it, we'd have never made it. We'd have never made it. But through Jesus, we made it, hallelujah. But when the first 2 or 3 years, something would happen. And instead of me kicking the walls and punching out the walls and the doors and going crazy on my first marriage, this time, because I put God first every morning. Very few times in the last 14 years, not a brag on me, it's about the Holy Spirit waking me up, getting me to do the Word of God and do this. Because I got in a routine. I made it my routine lifestyle. And I got strong from it. And I put it that day. And we'd have some kind of confrontation that first 2 or 3 years. But praise God, I was able to keep my peace. The thoughts would come around in my head to go do something crazy, but I wouldn't act on it because the power of the Holy Spirit kept me from acting stupid and crazy. Hallelujah. That's the difference. And you know what? It's just getting, and now the marriage is getting more and more beautiful. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. It's good stuff. How to stay strong in the Lord, in His thoughts. You got to be in His thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen. One thing you can always think about this, your thoughts. If they're exciting, they're exciting you. They're giving you a future. They're God thoughts. He's giving you a future. If it's depression, discouragement, brings you down, well, they're the devil's thoughts. Go back from 1938 and crank up Hank Williams Sr. all the way through the Delta Blues. Go back to the Delta Blues, picking their old guitars, singing the blues, how they lost everything. Just like they said, you lost your dog, your house, your wife, and everything else. But if you play country music and the blues backwards, you'll get your wife back, your dog back, your house back, and everything else. Yeah, you'll get it all back to you, praise God. But where that music was inspired from the enemy, you know, causing to hurt people and cause them to, you know, think on that, 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 think on that. But that's why I love good Christian music that praises God. It gets me thinking about God. And, whoo, makes a wonderful, hot marriage, I promise you. The best marriage. Amen. Things are good. Look at Abraham. Abraham was a man God could deal with. God could deal with Abraham. Why? Because he just believed God. God took him out one day and said, look, Abraham, it's dark out night. Look at the stars. It says, your descendants are going to be numbered like these stars. Abraham believed him. He just believed him. He believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know what? You got the same belief system in you, praise God. Through even a better one through Jesus Christ. And you can get this Word of God and His promises, and you can believe them, you can confess them, and they'll come to pass in your life. And they come to pass in Abraham's life. He had many descendants. Many descendants. And we're talking about it. But 75-year-old man when he started getting that promise. Sarah was like 65. And next thing you know, they're 90. The promise didn't manifest in his life till he was 99 years old. She was 90 or 89. And by the time he was 100, she was 90. Isaac was born, praise God. But he stood on that promise. He believed God. And it is imputed by believing God, God said, you're righteous. By believing and trusting God, God said, Abraham, you're righteous. He imputed righteousness to him. Praise the Lord. He called him righteous. Amen. In fact, over in Romans 4, it said Abraham was fully convinced what God had told him. Fully convinced. Well, I'm fully convinced that these promises are real for my life. I'm fully convinced that by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed because it's His thoughts for me, and what He's done, not only thoughts, but what He actually did on that cross for me. Salvation is real. There is a heaven. There is eternal life. Well, I mean, I don't care what an atheist say that you're just going to go back to the ground or whatever. I know it. It's here. It's in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And guess what? They had 500 witnesses that Jesus, the Bible says 500 witnesses after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that witnessed Him alive after He was raised from the dead. 500 witnesses. You know how many witnesses the Harvard Law School says it takes to make a history documented as a fact? It takes two. Two witnesses see something and it becomes history. It's documented as fact. It's just like, it's fact that the Holocaust happened that in Germany and all the Jews and killed 6 million Jews. That's fact. There's you know, that this country is, it's a fact that, you know, we come from different nations to come to this nation. Praise God. It's fact. Well, Jesus had 500 people that actually documented that had actually seen him that was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. So it only takes two. Abraham was fully convinced. And, you know, you think about, I'm thinking about, and some of you are not in the Lord that as long as I have been. I've been in there, I guess, I'm going on 16 years now. But verses that I couldn't really understand as well and get everything out of 10 years ago, I'm getting so much more out of now. Not saying I'm there yet. We'll never be there all the way on God's thoughts because they are great. But we can start learning them and start living a life of victory through him to have a good life. We'll start learning. And this is faith school while you're here on the earth. Then you go on to eternity. You get to be in heaven. And you learn more. And you just constantly learn. And, you know, God's words. Are, you know, they're thought capsules. And you just keep coming. Keep coming. You'll just get more and more thoughts of God. Hallelujah. They're good. They're good. It never was that verse's fault at that time. I just had to get more God's thoughts in me to understand it. Hallelujah. I got to be consistently in the Word of God in order to understand his thoughts. I mean, I think about when I was an unbeliever, and you think about an unbeliever and how ignorant he is, and kind of arrogant not to think that there's, you know, that if I don't understand it, well, it must not be. If I can't see it or taste it or touch it or whatever, it must not be. That was kind of arrogant of me to think that way when, hey, there is a God. Just because you can't see it don't mean it's not there. Kind of a shallow life it is. Let's turn over to Psalms 139. Do you know that you are constantly having a spiritual life? 139:17. You are constantly having a spiritual life. Because you don't want me to prove it to you? Because thoughts are spirit. They're not material, they're not physical. They're spirit. Thoughts that come in your mind, they're either from heaven or they're from hell. They're from the enemy. They're one of the two. They're from the devil or from God. The thoughts that come in your mind to do this, to act on that. Well, you're like, and you know what? Thoughts are deadly. And you say, oh, now, come on, Pastor. Now, how can thoughts be deadly? Well, there's many a people that had a thought. That, like, I seen this girl out in California. She had a thought she was going to do 15 shots of vodka that night. Little, I mean, like a 17, 18-year-old girl. She was going to get to this party. She finally got away from her mama's house, and she was going to go to that party. And why she named that number that she wanted to do 15 shots of vodka, but she wanted to do it. And she had done those 15 shots of vodka that night. And the next morning, she was sick in the bathroom, everything else. And she laid up, and the friends, nobody was taking care of her. They just left her in there. She ended up dying. And they just left her in there, and they could have at least got her to the hospital and took care of that young lady. But she had a thought that she wanted to do 15 shots of vodka, and it killed her. Now, who had thoughts? Now, you know, I could have died a lot younger when I was and not went to heaven, because there was a lot of times I've had thoughts of jumping my three-wheeler and four-wheeler. Thank God, God kept me alive. Hallelujah. Because there was a lot of times I could have died, and I guess he must have knew that I was going to come to him at some point in my life, you know. Here I am, hallelujah. Thank God I'm still alive. Thank God his angels were watching over me. Amen. All right, 17, 139:17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I'll say it again. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. His thoughts about us are precious. He has precious thoughts about us. In fact, you know, he has thoughts of peace and love and dreams for us to have a vision for us to have a good life. You know, it's the devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy and take our life. So his thoughts for us are precious. Precious. Now, I tell you what isn't precious. And that's man-made religion. Man-made religion is probably one of the most destructive and hindrance things there are to anybody. You know, a man that makes up, takes the word of God and makes it up and is to mean it for himself. And they can be hindrance to a person that's not saved yet. They'll turn God into some kind of serial killer or so bad and so terrible that even a saved person, I don't want nothing to do with that God. He's terrible. I don't want nothing to do with that. And because they don't know the Word of God, they make up their own man-made religion. Or they have it and they're saved and they're teaching it to those that are saved. And they can hinder the Word of God from somebody's life. You know, God's word about love, God's word about healing, you know, grandma's folklore. You'll teach you that that's all passed away. Well, that's a lie because the Word still says it. I mean, I'm going to believe the Word over grandma. I'm believing the Word of God over grandma. Just the way it is. I mean, I'm not sorry for that. I'm not going to say I'm sorry about it. No, I'm not sorry about it. I'm believing the Word of God over grandma. I believe in salvation. I believe in the rapture. I believe I'm going to be with Jesus. I believe in healing. I believe in even speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. I believe all those things. It's in the Word of God. I'm not going to just cut it out and throw it away. I'm not going to do that. That's not the way I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to box God up in a box. He's much bigger than a box. He'll come out of that box. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe the Word. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians 9:2-9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. All right, this is how religious people interpret a verse. Watch this. They'll read verse 9. That is what the Scriptures means when they say, no eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. So, what are they saying? Eye has not seen, ears not heard, no mind is imagined. They put up a stop sign. Nope, you can't know God. You can't know His thoughts. You can't know nothing about Him. Whoop! Some religious people, they'll stop right there. Come on, folks, let's go to the next verse. Let's expand our Christianity and go to the next verse. Let's go where others hadn't gone. Hallelujah. All right, look, what's the verse 10? But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. He revealed those things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. You can know God's thoughts, even His deep secrets. You can know God's deep secrets. How? By getting in His Word. You can get His thoughts. Words are, you know, thought capsules. They contain His thoughts. Amen. See, that's how man-made religion works, especially someone teaching the Word of God. They'll just quote part of it and think, well, you can't know God. You can't know nothing about God. Go where no man's gone before. Go to the next verse, hallelujah, and read the rest of it. You know, it says that we can know God and His thoughts. All right, look over at Psalm 1:1. Isn't it good that our daddy in heaven, Our Abba, Father in heaven, wants us to know His thoughts? Isn't that good that our daddy in heaven wants to know His thoughts? That's good stuff. He wants us to know His thoughts. God wants us to be so acquainted with Him and such fellowship with Him and put Him number one in our life. So bad, that's what He wants. And if you put Him number one in your life and get in His thoughts and get full of Him, your life will be so much better. I mean, it's so good when you're full of God. It's so good. Now, the world is full of all this other trash and all this other stuff. The devil has basically what you call window shopping. He dressed it all up to look so great. But it's all behind it all is death. It's all death, trying to hurt people and to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's ways are good and His Word is good. All right. Let me see here. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around the sinners, or join with the mockers. Oh, the way, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around the sinners, or join in the way of the mockers. In other words, you're not sitting around bad counsel. You're not involved with bad counsel. Hallelujah. You know, bad counsel can give you the wrong advice and you'll go the wrong way. You know, I have to be real careful that I'm telling you right now, y'all, and you do too, probably around holidays with your kin folks. But I have to be real careful where my job is, because, you know, I work at a welding shop, and they're not quite as bad as sailors, but they're pretty rough. They're pretty rough. I have a couple of guys in there that really rough, and whew, and I got it. Some of the things that come out of their mind are perverted and just off the rocker bad. And they like to watch that True TV and all that crap, and it is some rough stuff. And I have to shut that out of my mind and get away from them a lot of times, because I can take on their mindset and start thinking like the world. And I don't want to do that, because I want God's best. Hallelujah. I want what God has for me, and that's His best. I don't want to stay in mediocre. I want to go on with Jesus and get God's best, because there's even better out there where I'm at. There's even better. More blessings, more prosperity, healing, being able to be a blessing to other people, even more than where I'm at right now. I want more of it, to go farther with God, where I can be even more blessing to other people and do greater things for God. I don't want to be limited by that. So that's where I had to put my guard up. It might be at holidays. You know, I went through that when I first got saved. And when I first got saved back in 2000, I got saved that March the 6th through the 30th is when I started praying the prayer of salvation, watching that movie. And then I finally, on April the 17th, which was Easter Sunday at First Baptist Church, Brother Pepper prayed with me right before that, when Jake and I asked Jesus in the heart, and then we got baptized. And I knew, man, I got on fire for God. I was on fire for God. You know, I was, you know, first thing I did, started tithing. I was making $531 a week. I was tithing $53.10. I mean, that just, because it come natural to me, because it was in the Word of God. And that's one thing I started doing right then. My life started getting better. I started learning the Word. I was hungry for it. I got it on tapes, and I started listening to it. Listening on TV, preachers preaching. Started changing my life. And by that fall, Thanksgiving came around, and I was still living with Mom at that time. And a lot of my brothers and sisters, my sisters and brother-in-law came in there, and we were wanting to watch what came on? Austin Powers. It was like 2000. And I seen that. I shut it off. And they were shocked, because I had power to say no to that. Power to say no. That was my first experience of being able to really say no in front of, you know, people. I would have been peer pressure. Peer pressure don't stop when you're an adult. I mean, it don't stop when you're in college. You know, and when you're sixth grade, eighth grade, peer pressure can go all through your life, trying to conform you to be like them, where there's death, trying to conform you to be like them, and just it'll mess you up. You'll still be saved. You're following Jesus. You're going to church, but it's not God's best. What God wants for you, because it's not His best. He wants even better for you. Praise God. You know, you're still saved and everything, but if you got Jesus in your heart and following after Jesus, but He wants better for you to have a real good life, an excellent life. He wants you to have that God-type life. It can get so sweet, and that's what He wants. Anyway, it was 2 months later, 3 months later, right after Christmas, and the impact had an effect on some of my family members. They started going to church and everything else. And then one of my sisters came up to me and said, you know, Lyle, we were persecuting you. We were talking behind your back, telling you, you're one of the religious fanatics. You went crazy. They thought I went crazy because I said no to that one television. So I thought I lost my mind. Actually, I gained my mind. I started getting God's thoughts, what to say no to and what to say yes to. You know, I've always went with the flow. I've always been like a fish going with the rest of the pack when I was young and doing everything else everybody else does. Actually, now that I've become a Christian, I can say, nope, not doing that. You know, have more of a to stand against it, you know, to stand up and say, nope, I'm not going to go with the rest of the flow. And that'll go off into what it says over in the Gospels. And it said that the gate is narrow to get into heaven, and it's wide to go to hell. And So many people are falling off, going into hell because they want to just follow the rest of everybody else. Praise God. I'm starting to preach like a Baptist preacher, one of them hardcore preachers where they call them brimstone and fire. I'll start pounding the pulpit here in a little bit if I don't quit. Amen. Let's look at verse 2. Same chapter, verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it night and day. The righteous person is doing what's right. If you want what's best for God, for your life, you'll be delighting in God's law, which is the Old Testament is the law. Remember, we're in the New Testament, which is grace through Jesus Christ. It's even better. We take that and learn the Old Testament and learn the New Testament. It's even better, praise God, because the better promises. So here we are. We're delighting in God's Word. His law is His Word. Meditating on it day and night. Day and night. When are we supposed to meditate on this? Day and night. What about high noon? What are we supposed to do at high noon? What are we going to be doing at high noon? We're going to be meditating the Word of God. What are we going to be doing at midnight? Meditating the Word of God. What if it's day? What if it's night? Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? What you need to be doing. Hallelujah. So we need to be in the Word of God. If we want God's thoughts and our life to change. Hallelujah. Can you? There's people out there trying to pray for God to just take control of their mind or pray in this prayer. And prayer is good. But it doesn't substitute for Romans 12:2, where it talks about you're supposed to renew your mind to the Word of God. It would be nice if it was that easy. I could just follow God, just take my mind, let me think on your stuff and quit thinking on the other world stuff and just plug in your stuff. And wouldn't it be a lot easier that way? But it don't work that way because it goes back. You're a spirit-speaking being. You're in the God class. God made you in His image and likeness. So you have the right and the choices to either do it or not do it, because it's just the way it is. All right, so now you're meditating day and night. Verse 3 says, they are like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaf never withers, and they prosper in all they do. I like that. Your leaf never withers, and you prosper in everything you do. So you went from meditating, and you're still meditating, to being. Now you're being. You went from meditating the Word, now you're being this. You're being prosperous in everything in your life. Your life is being prosperous, hallelujah. Isn't that good news? And if you're an apple tree, you can just soak up that water and just bake apples to the ground and just cover it in apples, hallelujah, because you're full of that. Well, you're full of God's thoughts. You can just soak it up till you just multiply and your life gets greater and greater and everything, you get more and more blessed. And your life will change for the better, I promise you. The more you put this in, your life is going to change for the better, hallelujah. Amen? That's good news. There's people out there, they're dying because they're carnally minded. And carnal mind or deaf mind is thinking on things like, death. I'm going broke, sick. All the things of the world. You see it on the news and everywhere else, constantly just bringing you down. But if you'll get into God's thoughts and get full of His thoughts, His thoughts are what, and His promises. I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. He is in me is greater than He is in this world. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. All the different. My God supplies all my needs according to His rich and glory by Christ Jesus. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Hallelujah. The wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. Yes, there's so many promises of God. That's what we're supposed to be meditating on, His Word, His thoughts. And they're good for us. They'll enlighten us. And then we can be, what? Full of these thoughts. And then we speak it out of our mouth, these thoughts, and we'll be a light to everyone around us. Hallelujah. I want to put God's thoughts in my mind. I pray to go to another level. Hallelujah. Another level. I pray that for you in Jesus' name. Each and every one of us go to another level of God's thoughts and His Word. Find ways to get this in your mind. When you put it in your ears, it feeds into your spirit and up into your mind, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you'll get full of it. I don't care if you got to get it on your phone. You got, like the New Living Translation app. I mean, the Bible app, YouVersion, you can hear it. You can read it. There's different translations on here. You can get good preaching on here off of YouTube. Go over there. I know the Copelands and the Keith Moore, and there's all these other good preaching teaching of the Word of God. You can go on voiceofbelieverschurch.org and go in their messages, and you can see Monica's messages or my messages. You can walk around with the Word of God wherever you go. Little computer pocket of it right there in your hand. Hallelujah. So there's really, God's provided a way for us to have it wherever we're at. Hallelujah. And that's good news. That's good news. All right, let's all stand. We're going to say this real quick. I'm going to say it first, and we're going to repeat it together. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. All right, y'all ready? 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Hallelujah. We're going to break loose from that devil. Hallelujah. We're going to break loose from him. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on their life. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm getting full of your word, full of your thoughts. Your thoughts. Because your word are thought capsules and who we are in you. And you enlighten us through it, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening on these CDs, or they're listening by voiceofbelieverschurch.org, the internet, through that website. Lord, I just, if you're listening through that through the website, or if you're listening through the CD, and you say, hey, I need this Jesus. I need this new life, a new life in the Lord. You said you're tired of this old life, and it's the burdens, and it's heavy on you. Say, I need this new life. Well, you can pray a simple prayer. Just all you do is pray it after me, like this right here. You can say, Father God, according to your word, over in Romans 10:9-10, if I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was raised back to the right hand side of the Father, and I ask him in, I shall be saved. So Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus did die for my sins, and I ask you in. I ask you to save me. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit, according to Luke 11:13. Let me live for you. Show me your will for my life. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for salvation and changing my life, and give me a hunger and desire to do your will. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer, wherever you was listening, you can go on voiceofbelieverschurch.org and go on the prayer link and press on the prayer link and tell us about it, and we'll be praying for you. But wherever you're at, you may be in a whole other country or wherever at, speaking English, wherever, whatever country it's at, that you need to find a good Bible teaching church wherever you're at, and get in the Word of God, get full of the Word of God, and get strengthened, and tell others how you give your life to Jesus. If you hear it on CD, well, you can get on Voice of the Believers Church on the Facebook app and like us, and tell us about it there, and do the same thing. You got to get in a good church that'll teach you how to win in life, how to overcome, and use your faith for victory here in this life. Now, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for everyone here that's here listening, and everyone that's listening through the different media deals. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're all the head, not the tail. We're the lender, not the borrower. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessing the city, blessing the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he'll have to flee from us seven, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. this real quick.